I want to talk to you about confidence before Yahweh. I mean, we are to fear Yahweh, and we'll talk about what that entails, but we really don't need to fear man, or we don't need to fear what's going on in the world. You know, if we have perfect love, that casts out fear, we're told. If you would, turn into 1 John 3 and verse 21. And I think we'll get some insight starting out here. 1 John 3, 21 and going through 24. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before Elohim. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do the things which are pleasing to his sight. Now that tells us a lot. It tells us we need to be thinking about what he wants rather than we want, you know, or what the world wants or what we could be doing in the world. And ultimately, we understand that that the Father sent his son, Yahshua. And so the thought continues here that now we need to keep this commandment. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his son, Yahshua the Messiah. And that entails a lot, the salvation of Yahweh. And love one another, just as he commanded us. The one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. We know by this that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. So Yahweh has wanted obedience from the heart from the very beginning. We've looked at these scriptures before. And guess what? He receives with that, with us who are walking in truth and in spirit. But can we do better? Yes, we can always do better because we're not yet perfected, but we are striving for perfection. But how can we be perfected? By keeping Yahweh in the forefront of our minds in our daily decisions. And Yahweh's Spirit is here to help. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5. Psalm 37. I'm at a bit of an advantage because I wrote all these scriptures down, so you don't find me up here, you know, trying to find the scriptures. So I'll give you a minute. Psalm 37, verses 3 through 5. Trust in Yahweh and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. A lot of talk about gardening and cultivating, you know, these days, you know, feeding our families and such. Cultivating faithfulness. This is a spiritual aspect that we are to do. Delight yourselves in Yahweh, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to Yahweh. Trust also in him, and he will do it. So scripture tells us that we are to trust and have faith in Yahweh, but if we choose not to trust him, it will not necessarily be good for us. Hebrews chapter 11, and of course this is known as the faith chapter. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to Elohim must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So he's not out to destroy us. He has good thoughts for us. He has things in mind for us, things that we can't even fully comprehend right now, because of his goodness, because of his delight in those he has called out from the world and has chosen. And scripture tells us that we are to trust and have faith in Yahweh. The author of Hebrews goes on to give examples of men and women of faith, like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. Was Rahab a saint? No, she was a harlot. But she evidently forsook that lifestyle. Otherwise, she would have not been spared at that time, nor with the future of Israel in the land all around. Was King David a saint? Not all the time. So the answer to that is no. But he also repented. Now notice King Saul was not listed among the faithful. Because, why? Because in the end he was not faithful. He lost faith in Yahweh and showed it in his life. Continuing in Hebrews 11, verse 33, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back the dead in a resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Of course, there's two major resurrections. I mean, yes, Yahshua showed who he was, that he had power over life while he was here, and he does even so at the right hand of the Father. And all judgment has been given to him, but there are two major resurrections that are coming. We hope to be in the first one, that first fruits, and the best, according to Revelation 20, the best resurrection to be in. And those that were resurrected, individuals, they had lived out the rest of their lives and died, and they're waiting the interaction of the resurrection. And so some were, they experienced mockings, scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were put to death with a sword, they went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, men and women, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. Now, I have to speak for myself. I've never gone through anything like that. And we go through testing. Have you been tested? Indeed you have, but many of us have yet to be tested and tried and refined like these. But I think it's given here for a reason, that these things will come about again. But they had confidence in Yahweh, and we are to have confidence in Yahweh. But I added up on the screen here, confidence before Yahweh, and I put down at the bottom, doing his will. Because ultimately, we need to be found doing his will if we're going to be confident before him. So when the times get tough, and they will, we can stand and in standing have faith that Yahweh will provide at his appointed time for us. Luke 21 and verse 36, keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place. This is Luke 21, verse 36. And to stand before the Son of Man. Well, easy said, not so easy when it comes during times of stressful situations. Luke 22, going a little further, verse 42. Yahshua is here speaking in prayer, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. That's to be our attitude as well. Now, an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And I think sometimes we receive Yahweh's presence and his insight and help, and that strengthens us. And so we are blessed by having that as well. And being in agony, he was praying more fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. They have a word for it. Diapetesis.
What is it?
Diapetesis. Diapetesis is a medical term for what happened and is known to occur in some people when under tremendous emotional stress and trauma. I have not experienced diapetesis. That's diapetesis with a D, D-E-S-I-S at the end there. But he was the son of Yahweh. So, nevertheless, he learned obedience through suffering, and we will as well, because a lot of what he went through, we will go through. And tryings and sufferings and these things, you know, ultimately being distraught and stressed, that does happen to us as well. Some of us more than others. But Yahweh promises not to give us more than we can handle. So, no matter how difficult it gets, we still have promises from Yahweh that we can rely on and not faint and, you know, grow weary. Though sometimes, you know, I suppose we could feel like fainting and growing weary. But I don't think we've experienced the type of things that we just read in Hebrews chapter 11 there just yet. This passage of scripture is interesting as well, since Yahshua told the disciples to pray that they enter not into temptation, both before and after, you know, he had this prayer to Yahweh. And that is a message to us too, not to enter into temptation. James 1, James chapter 1 and verse 14. Each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed with his own lust. Do we have different things going on? Yes, we do. The Apostle Paul had different things going on within himself, and he expressed his feelings, and he says, who's going to save this wretched man that I am? That's pretty intense to be able to acknowledge that. And while no one could point to him and say, you know, well, you did this wrong and you did that wrong, because really he maintained his conscience and was blameless as far as could be seen, but he still internally dealt with different things. And I guess we could look at how he dealt with maybe Mark and Barnabas at one point and how he rectified that. So there's still some things that he was working on and we're working on. But each one is tempted when he's carried away, enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. It's an automatic, you know, pick up the one end of one stick, get the other automatically. These laws are across space and time. And they, you know, Yahweh didn't have a different standard anciently, for us as he did anciently. It's still, he's requiring obedience from the heart. That's what he wants. But sin equals death, and it's been that way. I mean, we could go back to Ezekiel 18 and get a sense of Yahweh's mind and what he is desiring of his people. But Ephesians, let me just say that this is why there's so much emphasis to not even have the appearance of evil in our lives, in action, language, or thought, you name it. Ephesians 5, let's go to Ephesians 5. This is one area in my scriptures that is highlighted blue and is circled. It's one of a number of areas because it's something that I felt I needed to be reminded of. And it's something that I think we all do need to be reminded of. Ephesians 5, verses 3 through 4. Immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. I've never heard a saint, cussing like a sailor. I mean, it's just not the image that we get that is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. So a positive. Let's get rid of the negative thinking and focus on the positive. But where some things lacked in the law as far as behavior and speech goes, I think it is made up in the letters we have under inspiration in the Spirit of Yahweh by the authors. But Colossians 3, and starting in verse 1, and it's quite a bit of a section to read here, going through verse 9. But Colossians 3 in verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Messiah, keep seeking the things above, where Messiah is, seated at the right hand of Elohim. So let's keep our focus, upwards, not out in the world, not down in the pits, but, seated at the right hand of Elohim. Set your mind on things above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Messiah in Elohim. When Messiah, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. I mean, it's so bad that Paul is addressing it similarly to idolatry, which was an abomination, Yahweh calls such things. So he's putting it in that category of abominations. For it is because of these things that the wrath of Elohim will come upon the sons of disobedience. So we don't want to be in that crowd. We want to be you know, sons of obedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech. Whoops, I just hit the... Hold on a second. Let me back up here. All right. Yes, I hear an applause from the audience. Just one applause noted. Okay, from current slide. I know how. I need to just hang this on the side here. That way I won't touch it. And it does hang there because we clipped it on here with a little clip, so yeah. All right. Let's go back to Colossians 3 and verse 1. Let me just read through it again. Therefore, if you have been raised up with the Messiah, keep seeking the things above where Messiah is, seated at the right hand of Elohim, seek your mind, or set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth, for you have died and your life is hidden in Messiah Elohim. When Messiah, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of Elohim will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them, but now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self, or the old man, with its evil practices. So relationships with one another and with Abba Yahweh are paramount. And we are given instructions as to how we should think and behave. In many respects, we are given a higher ground to walk on since the coming of the Messiah and partaking of the heavenly realm here on earth. Speaking of a portion of Yahweh's Spirit being granted to us, and it is granted to us like a seed that's to grow within us. The idea of loving Yahweh with all of your heart and mind and being is not new, neither is fearing Yahweh. But what does it mean to fear Yahweh? Respect him, yes. Do what he says, yes. Live his way and path and law, knowing, and you know, not living a, you know, contrary to that, which leads to death, yes. And in Proverbs chapter 8, it tells us how to fear Yahweh. Proverbs chapter 8. And this is a chapter which, you know, we often point to showing wisdom as the Messiah, and how that order of headship is even found, you know, in Old Testament times. And when we look at Yahweh, he's like the draftsman, and Yahshua is the craftsman. And we go into John, and he confirms that, you know, he was with the Father in the beginning, and so on and so forth. And nothing that was created without the Son, essentially is what it's saying. But in Proverbs 8, verse 13, it says, the fear of Yahweh is this, to hate evil, to hate filthy jokes, to hate filthy language, to hate filthy things in the world, to hate abominations, evils, things that we are to avoid. And so we should hate these things too and avoid them. Proverbs 16, over a few chapters, Proverbs 16 and verse 6. By loving kindness and truth, iniquity is atoned for. And by the fear of Yahweh, one keeps away from evil. So again, it's confirming the idea that we're to put away the past, coming up anew in newness of life, and avoiding those things which are contrary to the Father and His Son and the Spirit and their truth. Proverbs 14, backing up a couple chapters, Proverbs 14, verse 16, it says, the wise man is cautious and turns from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. So it's like, oh, Yahweh will forgive me. I'll just go ahead and do this or this thing over here. We can't have that attitude. We're to be very careful to make our calling and election sure, not to be taken by the wayside, you know. What's the saying? Give the devil an inch and he'll take your life, or something like that. I think that's kind of how it works. That may not be the exact saying, I'm not sure. But The wise man is cautious and turns away from evil, but a fool is arrogant and careless. Proverbs 8, let's go back to, going back to Proverbs 8, we find that to reject wisdom and to continue in sin is one who loves death. Proverbs 8 and verse 35 and 36. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from Yahweh. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. And ultimately, we see wisdom in this chapter pointing to Yahshua. And in him, we certainly find confidence before Yahweh. And we are told today by him that he is the only way to the Father in John 14, 6. And so, why be obedient to the law? Because he is the telos, that's a Greek word for meaning the goal, what we are striving for. And Yahshua is a walking video of what we are striving for. He didn't sin, not once. And so these ministers and different ideas out there that are proclaiming that, oh, you can't keep the law, that goes directly against what Yahweh himself says. Because he says, this isn't too far from you that you can't reach it. But now he's giving us even more help by giving us a spirit, giving us the mind of Messiah, which is in line with the Father's. And to be cautious, be given energy and desire to do the things that you're pleasing to the Father. And that was the Son's prayer, that we might be one with the Father and with him in purpose and goals and aspiration. In the telos, in the goal and aspiration of what is perfection, and we see perfection in the Son. All that we should strive to be. And so we, you know, with the Spirit, we strive to mature in Messiah. 1 John chapter 2. How do we know we're getting close to maturing? Well, 1 John 2 and verse 3, starting there. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. And the one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. So we just have an answer for those that say he can't keep the commandments. He's a liar. And the truth is not in him, or them, or anyone who says that. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of Elohim has been truly perfected. For this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner that he walked. So this gets back to the idea of a living video of the word of Yahweh. Not out of sync with it, but being walking in the Spirit and in truth. That's the thing that Yahweh is looking for in us and desiring of us. And he's given us a way to do that and to be a blessing to him and his Son. So Yahshua came not to do his own will, but his Father's. And we are given the Spirit of Yahweh, not the fullness as Yahshua had, but it is given for the same purpose, so that when we walk as Yahshua walked, not in sin, but in righteousness. Let's go to the next chapter in 1 John 3. And starting in verse 1, we'll go all the way through 12. Quite a bit here, but we'll go over this whole section. See how great the love, or a love, the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of Elohim, not, you know, children of disobedience, but children of Yahweh. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it does not know him. So why is there so much confusion? Why don't people comprehend what we comprehend? I think we have the answer, because they do not know him. They do not know him. Even though they might claim to know him, they don't. Beloved, we are children of Elohim, and it has not appeared as to what we will be. We know that when he, that is Yahshua, appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself. It's like the passage in Revelation that talks about the bride preparing herself. It's a process. It's not overnight and, you know, you're 100%. No, there's a loading process, like on a computer, you're loading something. You know, it takes time. With some computers, it takes more time than others. I suppose there's a figurative sense in talking to about people concerning that as well. But we will see him like he is, and everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness. And what does Yahshua say he will say to those that say they knew him? Depart from me, you lawless, because I never knew you. So, I mean, you have to put these things together and kind of get a sense. But sin is lawlessness. So we know what lawlessness is. It's sin against Yahweh. 1 John 3:4, which is what we're looking at here. So you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins, that is, continues in sin, has seen him or knows him. Little children, make sure that no one deceives you. Be careful. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. So, boy, don't want to be in that camp. Want to be in the sheep line, not in the goat line. The son of Elohim appeared for this. Well, here, let me back up. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil is sin from the beginning. He's the father of lies. The son of Elohim appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of Elohim practices sin. The key word here is practices. It's not that we won't stumble at times, but we don't practice what we used to practice anymore, because his seed abides in us and in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of Elohim. By this, the children of Elohim and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of Elohim, nor the one who does not love his brother, for this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the evil one and slew his brother. For that reason, or for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. So a number of things to note here. John shows that we are the children of Yahweh, and as such, the world rejects us, just as they reject Yahshua, the son of Yahweh. And if they claim to accept him, they have a false idea or perception. They think, well, he came to do away with the law. We couldn't obey the law. We couldn't do these things. We can go out and murder our brother. Well, they don't say that. But you get the sense that they're in another world, a false one. And so I was talking to someone here recently. Hal, I was talking to you about this, about the counterfeit. Satan has set up a counterfeit, and it's to keep people blinded. But Yahweh has allowed it. Why has he allowed it? Because the people have rejected him from the very beginning. It's sad, but it's true. And when we see things going on in the world, we see sadness. I see sadness. I'm saddened by what's going on. And I trust that you're saddened at some of the things you're seeing. But as the saying goes, we haven't seen nothing yet, because it's most likely going to get worse. And while this list was funny, and I do think it was, fear strikes, you know, the truth is fear is going to kill you, turn off the TV and go wash your hands. The thing about this coronavirus, it really is impactful. It has been impactful on the economy. And that brings up and opens up some things for some prophecy to be fulfilled that we haven't, you know, seen fulfilled yet. And so we'll see what happens. But, you know, keep your eyes open. And but we can trust that Yahweh will see us through any of these difficulties that we see currently or which would be coming. So as we fix our hope and attention on him, we see how he lived and how we cleaned up our lives as he lived a pure life without any sin. So we're to live a pure life without any sin, living according to the word of Yahweh. And he hadn't sinned once. And no one else can say that. So Yahshua came as a sacrifice for us, taking away the penalty of the what sin results in, that death penalty. And in thinking about taking away the death penalty, that opens up a lot of the meaning for scriptures, or to us from scripture that Paul talks about and others. But walking with the Messiah means we'll walk with him, not perfectly at first, but with the help of the Spirit, We will overcome and certainly not practice sin or live in it as we once did. We are born of Elohim and having his seed placed within us, as it abides and grows with us, we become more mature and in the likeness of the Messiah. But we won't be fully born from above until he returns. And some miss that understanding. And they think they're born again in the sense of being born from above. That means change. You know, and then when we see Yahshua, we'll be like him when that change comes. And truly we'll be born from above. But we have a sense of change now that's in a process. And I've heard it described like these butterflies and how the process that a caterpillar will go through to become a butterfly. Well, we're not butterflies yet. Let me just say that. We're going through the process. We're like in a cocoon, kind of stiff and not quite the way we want to be, but it's a process. And we'll eventually become beautiful butterflies in the kingdom. And, you know, that's something to look forward to. Love is emphasized in what we read, which is defined here as keeping the law, not committing murder. You know, Cain murdered Abel is given as an example. But beyond the letter of the law, Yahshua raised it up to a higher spiritual level for us to attain to in Matthew chapter 5 and in other areas, talking about weightier matters of the law, for example. But finally, John mentions that this love is from the beginning, that we should love one another. The very thing Yahshua also said, but he added, as he has loved us, he gave his life for us. And we read of that in John 13:34, that this, you know, this new command. And in him, doing what he did, loving as he did, we can have confidence before Yahweh. Let's go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and go through 7 here. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the Elohim and Father of our Master Yahshua the Messiah, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Yahshua the Messiah from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of Elohim through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, if you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even through testing by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, honor, at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah. So whether it is Paul, John, Peter, or Yahshua himself, they speak of the same and are of the same mind and spirit. Peter here speaks of being protected by the power of Yahweh in the faith that we have of his promises to be worked out. And so we can rely on those promises. And we believe and therefore can stand confidently, or rather kneel confidently, before Yahweh each day, knowing what he has planned for those that love him. And how do you express love for someone? And for Yahweh especially, you do his will. And again, it goes back to this, you know, confidence before Yahweh? Yeah, doing his will, you will have confidence before Yahweh. So Hebrews 10, let's go to Hebrews. Back to Hebrews 10, and starting in verse 35 there. So with all this said, therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of Elohim, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come, and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul, of the being, of who we are. Quoting the prophet Habakkuk, the author of Hebrews encourages us to stay the course that we will, in doing so, overcome and preserve our own lives. So this kind of gets into the idea of what Paul brought out with, you know, working out your own salvation. I can't work it out for you. I can bring up some things, but boy, you're the one that has to act. And I take these words in and understand that I need to act on what I'm reading here as well and what I'm comprehending. He says, do not throw away your confidence. It's something you would have to discard consciously. He's saying, don't do it. Stay strong and stick with obedience to the Father. And before you know it, Yahshua will return. But to shrink back into sin, disbelief would place us among the company of transgressors. Not a good place to be. You know, the goat line, the children of wrath. The reason Yahweh and the Lamb are going to be involved with a terrible time in this world. And, you know, people want to speak about love and grace and faith. But if you're not doing His will, is any of that for you? Is it for us if we're not doing His will? No. So we need to be in the right line to be able to enter into the kingdom properly. And of course, you know, Yahshua is the door. But again, He set the example. Perfect obedience. Are we perfect? No. Again, but we are striving for perfection. And I think, you know, if we're really getting close to where we should be, then no one's going to be able to point to us and say, well, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, and that doesn't line up with Scripture, and you're a hypocrite, and no one should be able to say that to any of us. By our own actions, it should silence people. And many people can't give a defense for the type of things that they believe, but we can by the word of Yahweh. And that's a definite positive for us. So it was just a few verses before that the author here spoke of there no longer being a sacrifice for sins if we continue sinning willfully. That kind of goes into the idea of practicing sin. We don't do it. And if we end up doing it, we won't be here because we won't care. There'll only be left a fearful expectation of the wrath to come. And so we have to remember all these things. And by studying, we do. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and starting in verse 6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Messiah Yahshua, constantly nourished by the words of faith and by the sound doctrine which you have been following. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking to Timothy. What kind of sound doctrine? Well, we'll take a look at that. But have nothing to do with worldly fables fit for only old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of righteousness, for bodily discipline. For bodily discipline is only of a little profit, but righteousness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. So, yeah, I might go to the gym and work out, but I'll gain more even if I spend that amount of time or more in Scripture. And so you can do both, but ultimately what Paul is bringing out here is truth. But Timothy is being encouraged, being a leader within an assembly. This is one of the pastoral epistles that we can look at and see how there should be order and purpose in an assembly. Timothy is being encouraged to teach sound doctrines, which we know are founded on the scriptural laws, ordinances, and statutes. And you can read of that in 2 Timothy 3, verses 14 through 17, as Timothy had been instructed and was doing these things. And so to not get into questionable ideas, also known as fables or conspiracy theories, he was being warned about. Some people seem to be preoccupied with conspiracies when they really should be focusing on and being preoccupied with Yahweh. And I remember, it's got to be 30 years now. It's been at least 30 years where I used to get you know, magazine publications talked about the Russians or the Germans, you know, training here in America, and they had these white buses, and it looked scary. And I was like, ooh, look at that. Ooh, this is, we're going to be taken over. And 30 years later, nothing. But it wasn't too long that I found myself spending more time in Scripture than with some of those things which were being promoted in that magazine. So, I mean, sometimes we get caught up with things that we don't really need to be caught up with. Some people seem to be preoccupied with such things, but we don't need to be. And if we should fear anything, it should be Him, Yahweh, that we should fear. Isaiah 8, starting in verse 12, speaking of conspiracies, Yahweh says, "You are not to say it is a conspiracy in regard to all this people call," and we could say the world calls a conspiracy. "And you are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of it. It is Yahweh of hosts whom you should regard as holy, and he shall be your fear and he shall be your dread." And this gets back to the idea that we are to shun evil. We are to avoid evil.
He shall be your and what?
Well, it says, "and he shall be your dread," in the sense of, if you're going to be concerned about things, be concerned about what Yahweh says he'll do to those that reject him. And so we don't want to be on that side of the fence. But also understand how loving and how merciful and how kind and how compassionate he is towards those that love him and that do his will. And it's not one without the other, it's both, because to love him is to do his will. You can't separate the two. It doesn't work. So in Isaiah 8:12-13, it is a conspiracy in regard to all this people or the world that calls things conspiracies. You are not to fear what they fear or be in dread of those things. It is Yahweh of hosts whom you shall regard as holy, as he who shall be your fear, and he shall be your dread. And a lot of people want to major in the minors or make mountains out of molehills. And we've seen it. I've done it. So making big deals about things that I shouldn't be making big things about. But, you know, thankfully I always open up my mind and heart, and I put away those things. And so, you know, what's important? Salvational teachings, correct doctrines. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. Don't get into the conspiracy theories. There are more important things to get into concerning the word of Yahweh, salvational teachings that will help the one being taught obtain eternal life. And in thinking about what we should be thinking about, let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, and starting in verse 6, we'll go through verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 6. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to Elohim. And the peace of Elohim, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Messiah Yahshua. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." Wow, wouldn't this be a different world if we all followed this? There wouldn't be any bad news. There wouldn't be any, you know, things that are now. But dwell, think, have our being saturated in excellence and purity and love. We don't need filthy language to fill our mouths, something to be washed out with soap, something that if it wasn't done by our mother when we were young, may make it more difficult to dispose of such words now that we're older, but it can and should be done. It helps no one's witness to be foul-mouthed, and we are to strive for better character than such things. We need to be thinking and speaking more in line with what would be and is spoken of in heaven, or what will be spoken of in the kingdom of heaven, or in the coming kingdom. And we know Yahweh's way of life is going to be spoken there. You can look at Isaiah 2 and other areas in which it talks about the people going up to the mountain of Yahweh, learning of his way, his law, his path. Things are going to be different. People are not seeking those things now. People are seeking to do their own will. We want freedom. We don't want to be housebound. We want to be out there doing our own thing. That's what they're pushing for. But in the kingdom after the tribulation, they're going to be seeking Yahweh's face. That's how bad it's going to get. And they're going to recognize what they were taught, what they were doing, the previous lifestyle they had. It was garbage. Utter garbage. That's what's prophesied, that the people coming into the kingdom will have a focus that we have right now, seeking Yahweh out, striving to overcome, seeking perfection and maturity in Messiah, doing those things that are pleasing to the Father. And if they're pleasing to the Father, guess what? They're pleasing to the Son as well. And so, it's a good thing. If we are in line with the heavenly, then we'll have confidence before Yahweh. We will have confidence to go through Yahshua, our high priest, and approach the heavenly throne. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 4, which talks about the high priest. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15 and 16. Hebrews 4, verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. So we have weaknesses. Even though we've been called out, we've been given help, and we have strength that we can call upon, but we still have, you know, difficult situations sometimes. But it's pointing to our high priest who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And there's more times than not sometimes that we need to go before his throne confidently and ask for help. But before this, the author of Hebrews speaks of ancient Israel failing, coming out of Egypt because of their disobedience and their sin, which is described as unbelief and a lack of faith. The author of Hebrews knew what he was talking about in describing these things. And we have an example in that sense of what not to do. So the opposite of disbelief and faith and disobedience and sin is obedience, faith, loving the Father, and doing these things which are pleasing to him. Nevertheless, with Yahshua, we have a mediator and an advocate. We have someone we can rely on in times of need and be able to allow us to come before the throne of his Father, and to do so confidently in the Spirit of Yahweh. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13. You know, it's really remarkable. I'm still astonished at times, you know, understanding what we understand and comprehending these truths, to have a knowledge of the truth as we have, and still see people failing to comprehend. But it goes over what we've already seen, that, you know, they don't have a knowledge of him. And that's why they don't understand us. They're not in the same spirit. They're in a deceiving spirit, one that is of Satan. You know, and it talks about Satan deceiving the whole world. Well, that's quite a few. If you think of the whole world, that's everyone. Well, You know, that gives more of a sense of many call, fewer chosen. You know, that many is not everyone. And the few are even less. Just a fraction, maybe, we're talking about. What's 144,000 out of 7.5 billion? Kind of a small fraction. I'm not saying that, you know, that's an actual, well, it is the actual number that we're given, but we don't fully comprehend. Though we know when we go back and we think of, you know, Yahweh started out with Adam and Eve, ended up working with Noah and his family, that's eight, saved them. The rest of the world was destroyed at that time. Joshua pulls out 12, you know, 12 disciples, turns them into, well, except for one, they've got someone else, and there's apostles. And when we go into Revelation, we see that, you know, through the gates, there's only going to be 12 gates. There's going to be, you know, the apostles, which are a foundation, and the tribes, which are mentioned as being over the gates. So to enter into New Jerusalem and these type of things, you're going to have to walk through Israel, you know, be part of Israel. And the world misses that boat as well when it comes to understanding. But Yahweh is going to give everyone an opportunity, but at times we think, well, he doesn't seem to be doing it right now. But yet he is. He's calling all men to repent everywhere, and there is going to be a reckoning. But there's going to be a great multitude which no man can count at the end of all this, which will then, at that time, be led by the Messiah, will at that time be given living waters. And you can read of that after the 144,000 in Revelation 7. So we're told about these things, and we don't fully comprehend, well, why can't it be this way now? You know, everyone coming out of the world, you know, it's just not. But things can change rather quickly. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 13. We should always give thanks to Elohim for you, brethren, beloved by the Master, because Elohim has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our evangel, that you may gain the glory of the Master, Yahshua the Messiah. And in spirit and in knowing and doing the truth, and of course we find that Yahshua is truth, living like a video of the word of Yahweh, as so described, a glory that is promised but was unclear to those having lived prior to the time of the first century of this common era. But now we understand much more fully. A sacrificial lamb has been offered. The promises of Yahweh can be fulfilled in us. We can confidently trust in Yahweh, and we are blessed because of it, blessed to walk in spirit and truth, blessed to have the confidence to go before Yahweh's throne. A lot of people are lacking that confidence. A lot of people in the world lack hope, true hope, that we have. And that is something to be considered. Jeremiah 17 and verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusts in Yahweh and whose trust is Yahweh. The promises and confidence is that what he is accomplishing through his son and now through us. Psalm 40 and verse 4. Psalm 40 and verse 4. How blessed is the man who has made Yahweh his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Another way of saying those who lapse into falsehood would be those who turn away from Yahweh and his way. I mean, this is the very thing that Yahshua came to do, to turn people back to Yahweh, because they had turned away. And the northern tribes, the children of Israel, were scattered. And Yahshua himself says he came back for those lost sheep. And the countless sands, we can't count the sands, and yet that was a promise to Abraham, that his descendants would be as the sands of the sea and as the stars of heaven. So we see a spiritual aspect, a physical aspect. But Yahweh favors those that fear him, those who wait for his loving kindness in Psalm 147, verse 11 there. We fear and respect Yahweh and wait for his return. Psalm 84, verse 5. How blessed is a man whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the ways to Zion. It reminds me of another scripture that talks about he has put eternity into our hearts, into the hearts of men. That is, we want to live. We don't want to die. And we'll do everything we can to live. In fact, there, some people are getting frozen in cryogenic tubes, you know, thinking, well, when science catches up, they'll be able to revive me. And they have no sense of what is actually coming. Yeah, they'll be revived, all right, and come before the presence of Yahweh. And then they'll have to give an account for what they did in their body when they were living. And we need to remember that as well. So we don't stray, that we don't go, on a different path, but that we take the path of repentance and turn away from those things in the past that were wrong to Yahweh, whose ways and paths are correct. But how blessed is a man whose strength is in you and whose heart are the highways of heaven. That's like the way of saying, our desire is to enter into New Jerusalem. As you search Zion out, can describe the heavenly Jerusalem. Psalm 2, verse 10 and verse 12, well, through 12. Psalm chapter 2, 10, 11, and 12 verses there. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship Yahweh with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son. Oh, wait a minute. This is his Old Testament. Do homage to the Son. Do homage to the Son. That he may not become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all those who take refuge in him. You know, under inspiration of the Spirit, it's like Yahweh talking to us and, with the Son there, better be careful, better do homage. Son's wrath can come upon you. Both the Son and the Father will be involved in the wrath upon the disobedient children in the future in this world. So this speaks prophetically about the day of Yahweh and the Lamb, which is described in Revelation 6 and verse 16 through 17. Both the Lamb and Yahweh are mentioned in the wrath, their wrath, coming upon the earth. Let's go to Psalm 78. Psalm chapter 78, verses 5 through 8. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should teach them to their children, that the generations to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they should put their confidence in Elohim and not forget the works of Elohim, but keep his commandments and not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that did not prepare its heart and whose spirit was not faithful to Elohim. Do you see how all this ties together? Everything that we've talked about is in unity. To the children's children, in other words, no end, but rather a continuation of correct doctrines are to be presented to all generations. The examples of Israel in which they sinned against Yahweh are not to be repeated by us today. We can put confidence in Elohim and not forget the works of Elohim, but keep his commandments in Messiah Yahshua. And we're given help through the Spirit. The problem wasn't with the first covenant. The previous covenants. The problem is with the people. So we've got something new in the sense of better, even better promises, though that was kind of related, you know, eternal life was related through the stars of heaven, speaking of the descendants of Abraham. That's a pretty large number. You know, we talk about 7.5 billion people. Well, there's those that have lived in the past. I'm not sure what the total is, but
I've heard 58 billion.
58 billion? Elder Tom has heard 58 billion. That's a pretty sizable number. And yet our debt is bigger than that. I can't believe it. That's what's so, you know, if we think about scary, what's scary? The total world's debt is scary. $250 trillion, that's a scary number. Anyway, not to get off track, we are to fear Yahweh, keep him in mind. The world is going to go the way it is, but we have to understand what those saints and believers in Yahweh, I should say, those that were focused on him, that had confidence in him, they had to go through difficulties. They suffered. You know, as we read in Hebrews 11 there, terrible times, living in holes in the ground. I'm assuming that's caves. We have lots of caves here in Missouri. This is called the Cave State. So maybe there's a reason we're here, you know, to be able to fulfill some of the things that we see in Scripture, even to our day. But to the children's children, no end, but rather a continuation of correct teachings are to be presented. We're not to forget the works of Elohim, but keep his commandments and Messiah. Yahweh be magnified. That headship, Yahweh is at the top. For he has provided salvation and confidence for us to come before his throne. And I'll just leave it at that. But think about how blessed we are. Nicole, you said you had a blessed week. I was glad to hear you say that. We should be thinking about the blessings. We should be thinking about our situation, our position in the Master, in the body, and how we can rely on the promises of Yahweh and have confidence as we, as this says, doing his will. So confidence before Yahweh, doing his will. So let's be strengthened in the knowledge of the word and what it promises, because its promises are great indeed, and we can have confidence in what is said. So may Yahweh bless and give continued guidance to us.